Did the Phoenix Suns fire their GM like right after training camp?
The
like,
weirdest firing ever. He's been there for 5 years. He goes. They had the first overall pick, so he makes the pick.
And they it was kind signings of a little bit. And, whatever they did with the pick.
Well, they took Ayton, which was probably the right move, but I'm with you. Like, they're in camp, and the guy gets fired.
That's just weird.
Like, what happened?
Something must have gone awry.
What's your read on that, Bob? Like, as a just a reporter, when smoke starts to bellow a little bit, are you, am I saying that right? Bellow or billow?
Billow.
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 Are you Come like, on. Okay, something had to happen here where the GM freaked or the owner freaked or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, and see, I'm at such a disadvantage. I'm going to get Woj in here.
Yeah, we should call up Woj. I'm sure he'd be willing to break the news to us.
I'm out of my element.
You're right.
Say I'm out of my element in hockey, too.
Well, you were covering the Leafs when Ballard was kicking around, weren't
yep.
you? Like, you must have seen some crazy stuff.
That was insane. Just, I remember the time.
Did you get access to him, like, where he talked to you or no?
Yeah, on and off, you know. But it wasn't even so much access. It was just... Especially in the later years when he was getting real cranky. And I remember there was a deal where Ballard tried to ban the female reporters from the dressing room. That was a big thing back in the 80s. And so the media decided en masse they would go in and the women would go in as well or whatever. And if I remember correctly, Ballard was there and he was trying to hit people with his cane and stuff.
Did you get hit?
No, I didn't. People.
In retrospect, it would be cool if you got hit. Like, yeah. Do you kind of wish you got plugged right in the head by Ballard's cane?
Maybe so.
That'd be a good chapter in the book, I would think.
Nowadays, people...
No, Andy Petrillo would grab the guy's cane and smash it over his head and say, get lost, you loser.
She should.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're right, though. Everyone would just get their phones
out
today.
I'm filming this. There he is, Ballard. Ballard
I'm
swinging.
Watching you.
Harold didn't care.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
He gave like no...
Yeah, he didn't care.
Gave none.
No proofs.
We were talking earlier about this Austin Matthews magazine shoot. He's done a couple of them.
Yep.
He's in GQ.
GQ, and Sharp.
Sharp magazine.
Looking sharp. Sharp-dressed man.
You know, yeah. Speaking about individual kind of promotion and your brand and how in hockey it's nowhere close to what we see in the NBA and NFL. And I'm not sure it will ever get to that point. But reading his answers, and I thought they were really well thought out, and his personality has just been blossoming this year. It's not a coincidence that Lou isn't here anymore.
No coincidence.
Do you think that factored into Shanahan's decision? I mean, not to take
no,
away from the acumen of Dubas, but...
No, I think the Dubas thing, I think he just realized that long-term he wanted Kyle Dubas, and if he didn't give him the job, he was going to go somewhere else. So I think that was that, but there's no question that you know, if Lou were still here, he would be probably limiting... some of these fashion spreads or things with the young guys in particular, where he knows everything that's going on in the organization, what players get approval to do or whatever. And Dubas is much more be yourself. And I think what we're seeing with Matthews is he's being himself, including, you know, the celebration the other night. He, you know, hand to the ear. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. It didn't surprise me because I don't know Austin real well, but I think I know him well enough to know that there is a lot of personality there and that, you know, he's got some jam that way. And I really thought it was funny when Kane did it right back. And I thought it was even funnier when Patrick Kane, after the game, was probably a little less than thrilled that Matthews did it and they're pals. And Matthews really looks up to Kane. And Kane was sort of happy to stuff it back in his face, although they still ended up losing. But he was a little, he seemed a little put off by it,
doesn't
which is
it
cool because that's
though?
Patrick Kane who, when he, you know, when he came in, had to, you know, some of
Swagger.
The really fancy
right.
celebrations with his glove and,
yeah, he does
and
showtime.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah
right.
and
well, I love it if they won. He'd be like, well, that was kind of fun. You know, it was good to go back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, there's some hypocrisy at play there. Like Kane all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you know what? It's also part, you know, as players get older, they start to see things a little bit differently. And anyways, I thought the whole exchange was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. And as we talked about, I don't know if it was with you guys or somebody else, the whole Brad Marchand and what he did to Lars Eller. I, as I said it then, I don't like what he did to Lars Eller, but I love what he did in the sense of professional sports is supposed, there's an element of theater to it. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be drama. There's supposed to be controversies, heroes and villains and protagonists mm-hmm. and antagonists. And when Marchand does something like that, and then the next night gets four assists in a 4-0 win, you know, ultimate heel move, and then responds because he's such a great player. And the same thing with the Matthews-Kane thing. I thought that was really cool. Two of the best offensive players just giving it to each other in terms of, you know, celebrations and showing emotion.
Yeah, it was good for the game.
Based on his play, you know, we expected he would be on the marquee a lot in terms of the NHL and the promotion. But when you factor in how well Matthews is looking and how well he's played through 2 years, now his personality is starting to come out a little bit more. He's into fashion. He's doing these magazine hits. And he's in Toronto. Like, how big could this get?
That's huge. But can you imagine, just for a moment, what if Matthews was playing really poor to start? What if his first few games, he's like -5, doesn't have any, and then these fashion spreads come out, and there'd be a whole bunch of people going, right. You know what the problem is here? Hey, he's more worried about wearing a nice
Joe
jacket.
Joe from the Bridge would be like, why is this guy doing photo shoots? He sucks.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't have the seat.
And there's obviously, nothing to do with anything, because these fashion shoots are done in the off season anyways. But it's just funny that, but I think it's cool. Let the kids be kids, and let them have their personality. And
We were talking about that last hour, is allow him to grow, and he's going to get so big that he's going to have to pick and choose some of the things that he focuses on away from the game. But you're right, if he's had a slow start and we're talking about his play and then some of these things come out, guaranteed the narrative is Austin Matthews focused.
And then he's going to see this. And then when that happens, and somebody will go and ask him the question, like, you know, like,
are you focused?
Or something like that. And then he's going to get ticked off, and then he's going to be like, yep. So it's kind of a funny thing. But, you know, it is funny. I don't follow the National Football League in terms of, I will spend 0 minutes watching a football game on Sunday. 0 minutes. The next football game I watch will probably be the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And just for the hell of it. Right. But I tell you what, I get up every morning, Sunday morning, and I watch 3 hours of the ESPN show, The Countdown. I like panels, but it's also because there's so many great personalities. Mm-hmm. And so you see Randy Moss and say, you got Moss'd, and to see what they're wearing and to see, you know, the features they do on the players, it's really cool. So, yeah, I'm all for players doing whatever they want to do.
Bob McKenzie in studio. A bit of an overreaction. It's an annual event. Bunch of goals get scored the first week, and people freak out.
Can't play defense.
Yeah. It same happens every single year.
Yeah. Now, they couldn't play defense in Game 7 either.
Well, true.
And they didn't get goaltending in Game 7 either, to be honest. Right. Mm-hmm. Although Freddie was fantastic almost all of last season for the most part. But the goaltending's been a little spotty early on. The defense is really spotty, and it's all very much a work in progress. So, you know, it's way too, you know, you're already getting, I get questions for the Bobcast, and it's like, you got to trade Nylander for a defenseman.
I know.
And they're going to work with the guys they've got. And hey, listen, you know, a month or two from now, maybe they will come to the conclusion, the personnel's an issue. Or maybe they'll come to the conclusion, hey, you know, we can tighten this up, and the pressure will be on the coach to do that.
Well, it's about time. He's got to do it. He's the highest paid coach in the league. You know, there's no more excuses. These players have been in the league for a while. They got all the talent. They bring in John Tavares.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying.
That's where coaching comes into play, too. It's like you cannot tell a guy or explain to a guy how to put the puck in the net. But X's and O's, defending, penalty kill, that's where a coach can put his
and the
print on the team.
Yep.
And the one thing he does have for power is ice time. That's the only thing he wields. All of those guys make money. They all, you know, all have a good life, but he wields the ice time. So if he doesn't like what he sees,
and that's why Ozaganov, he had a bad game Saturday night, and he was out Sunday.
Johnson's out tonight.
Like, sending a message. Now, it'll be interesting to see if he ever sends a message to somebody higher up in the lineup or with a little bit more cachet. And we were, Brian and I were talking off air about this when you guys were doing your hit. Nazem Kadri hasn't had the best start. He had 2 assists the opening night, and, you know, that team was flying. But he's now, at one point, you know, had Josh Levo and Janssen playing with him, and he, at some point, I think he's going to be pissed behind the scenes and be like, all right, like, I need a little bit of love here. I need to find some time. He played a low, what was 13 minutes last game.
Yeah.
Like, this is a back-to-back 30-goal scorer, and he's left some minutes and some responsibility on the table with the signing of JT, but, you know, at some point, maybe behind the scenes, he's going to be...
Well, everybody's got to find the new normal, and Babcock himself said he, you know, he hasn't been playing the matchup game either.
Right.
Because he says, I don't want to get locked into something. I just want to get him out there, get the guys out there, and see how it goes. And he'll have to adjust as he goes. If he sees Kadri starting to get left out, then find
he's
a way
done to... that too. He's tossed him out on the left wing a couple times.
Yep. Yeah, he has. It.
If I'm, I think it's I'm more. Thinking, about... I hope it happens a lot more.
Well, I think that's the bigger concern for Kadri is who am I playing with?
That's right. You know, I said
Josh Levo and Connor Brown.
The bottom line is. Even if you play top-end power play minutes, when you're on the third line, you're not going to be a heavy point producer. You're not scoring 30 goals.
Mm-hmm.
How many third line? Derek Brassard for the Pittsburgh Penguins. You think he's going to fire up 34 goals?
No, it's
right, but Nas has the benefit of being
he's a better
first,
player.
First power play, too.
I get it, but he's still not going to do it.
Yeah,
he's not going to do it throughout an 82-game
season. You know what? Welcome to the new reality, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because of the dollar values, because of the cap, and... Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we get Nylander back and it, you know, pushes somebody down the lineup,
well, I think
maybe it's Kapanen, obviously.
Playing with Kapanen would be a lot better than, like, right, I think it was last game, wasn't it, Levo and Janssen? And both, like, Levo hasn't, for me, I think Levo's a guy who's going to just be in and out of the lineup. Like, I don't think Babs loves him. I don't think he's... You know, a player that's established himself to be an every night guy. And Janssen, certainly this isn't the AHL. And I think Babs fired a shot across the bow at him today.
Which I think he should.
But that's where I'm looking at Nazem going. And I go back to the famous Brett Hull comment on the bench that I was told where Ken Hitchcock put him with Aaron Gavey and Mike Keane. And Hully looked back and said, oh, great, you got these two guys passing me the puck. We're going to really kill it out there. Like, you know, Hull meaning I'm a shooter. I played with Oates. I've played with Turgeon, all these players. And, you know, Aaron Gabey, really nice player. Mike Keane,
grinders.
Really nice player, but more grinders.
Right.
So I think Kadri's going to look around and say, you know, I've played with Marner, and I've got it on a tee. Like, I've played with some guys.
Connor Brown, though, he scored 20 goals 2 years ago, 14 last year. So, I mean, it's not like you've got him with... some plug that just showed up. He's a good hockey player.
Right. But last year he was with Marleau and Marner.
And
Nas looked like a stud. Now he's not getting Marner back.
No.
That's not going
to
happen.
And Bob said the new normal for him is not like he's more used to certain things and he's going to have to adjust too.
Absolutely.
But that's more of a personal adjustment mentally.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Some adjustments in goal throughout the league early in the season. Jonathan Quick week to week. Roberto Luongo week to week. Matt Murray a concussion. Those are three starters. Like
it's scary
these are
for
big
me
hits.
Because take a look at 2 years ago, Quick missed 59 games. Yeah. LA missed the playoffs. Done.
Yep.
Crawford last year, 50 games. Chicago not even close because of that division and all that. Matt Murray, there's not a lot of depth in net in Pittsburgh. You got DeSmith and Tristan Jarry, who are both young guys, not established. Roberto, at least they bridged themselves. They signed Michael Hutchinson to a $1.2 million deal in the offseason.
Yeah, but the scarecrow is going in there for...
Well, Reimer's going to have to carry the load. That's why they're paying him a lot of money.
In Pittsburgh, they're somewhat confident. Last year, they were 20-10-2. With their backup goalies.
Yeah, they...
Last year. So they think, you know, DeSmith's better. People just don't know who he is. And maybe he'll be fine. And Tristan Jarry's been injured himself, and he's just getting back now. So DeSmith will get the start Thursday night with Fleury on the bench and Malcolm Subban starting. They're a little...
Yeah.
They're getting a little gritty in
Vegas
right now.
Good.
They're not happy, huh? No.
Well, you lose a couple of games. They don't know what that means.
Got the Caps tomorrow night in Washington.
Right. So.
But the Vegas hasn't looked very good.
No.
I think teams are...
They were unreal in preseason, though. No. They were killing teams in preseason.
Yeah. And they just have... I think teams are... They're not surprising anybody anymore. That's why I continue to say the Leafs... they're not going to have an easy night because I'm circling JT and Matthews. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have success. They're just not going to have a night where people are going to take
all the
them
Western leaguers in the NHL. They're like, I'm not going to give these guys props. We're sick of hearing about the Leafs. Let's dummy these
guys. Looking forward to tonight's game because, I mean, you got Ben and Radulov and Sagan. That's going to be a great matchup. And the plan, Jim Montgomery's plan going into the game, is to play Radek Faksa in a shutdown role against Matthews head-to-head. And Faksa just had that job with Scheifele in the 5-1 win the other night against the Jets. And then you're going to have Tavares' line going head-up against Sagan. Ben Sagan and Radulov, which should be fun.
This coach from the Dallas Stars seemed to be getting some props from the players. Just he seems like, just listening to Jason Spezza, he said he's asking us about the plays on the ice, admitting that he doesn't know what you guys see. He just seems to be like a real...
He's a player's coach.
Yeah.
And, but he's also, you know, he's a coach. And he's played in the league before.
Yeah.
And he's coached college hockey. And he's been around the NHL game. And he knows the mentality of star hockey players. You know, he played with Paul Kariya.
I watched his presentation on the coach's site. I think you were on there too. And Ray did one. Like there, it's a website. It's pretty interesting to see a lot of different guys do presentations. And Montgomery was very progressive. You can tell he's a. I think he was DU or Denver.
DU.
Yeah, Denver. Yeah.
And he was talking about how he wanted his defense activated in the play, how he treated things in the defensive zone. Now he has a sign on the wall. In Dallas, I can't remember. I was drawing a blank on it, but just how he wants his players to play. If you do these five or six things, we're going to have success most nights. And afterwards, it's like successful power play. They put a check mark.
Right.
Did we do this? Did we win the special teams battle? Did we do that? And it should translate to a win. So you can tell he's a very progressive, positive coach. I played against him for
years. Got some personality,
yeah,
too.
Does.
I used to see him when my kid played college hockey at St. Lawrence. Monty was an assistant coach with RPI. And so I used to see him at the rinks all the time and stuff. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is.
Stars Leafs tonight on TSN4. Pregame starts at 8. Puck drop at 8:30.
Correct.
All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man. We'll catch you on the panel tonight.
Sounds good.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Penguins October 18th. That's a big ticket. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. A bit of a new spin on the Leaf ticket giveaway here on Overdrive this year. So on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. If you are the first one to call in with all of the clues and the answer correct, you and a friend will be headed to the game. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf player played with Doug Gilmour in the 02-03 season with the Montreal Canadiens. Think that one over. Dougie Gilmour. Have you seen that new commercial with Gilmour and William Nylander?
Having the pasta.
And Vernon.
Vernon's in there. And
Trombley.
Is it Mario Trombley?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the three of them in there.
Just quickly, we got a guy tweeting in. Bobby, I don't know if you would know this, or Brian or Jamie. What would a guy like Austin Matthews, what do you get paid for that photo spread?
And I don't think he got paid for it, but I don't know that. I think it's more probably in clothing and
like if I'm doing the photos with the I'm taking the clothes with.
Yeah, perhaps.
Well, one of the jackets was $6,500.
I was going to say it was like over $20,000 all the gear.
I would do that. Like, give me the gear.
No kidding.
It's great clothes, but like I couldn't see myself in them. Like I would look horrible in.
Yeah, so I don't understand that fashion, but
One of them's a giant parka.
Yeah,
and it was kind of cool looking, but I'm like, I can't see myself. In
I think
that.
You'd look good in that noodle.
Free gear, free swag.
Just like, no gear underneath, right to the bar.
You could
bar.
Go back to Lethbridge where the wind howls.
Oh, exactly. I'd need it in Alberta right now. It's like
someone will just clock you. You walk out onto the street, someone suckers you for wearing that
jacket.
I'd
be in a bar fight back then because of my coat.
Nice coat, you big timer. Look at you.
For sure.
You forgot where you came from, Mr. Toronto.
Found it on.